I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational, but that just wouldn't be our style.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
SportstownChicago.com. Lombard. Part of the Be On Air Network and available on the TuneIn app.
Hell yeah.
Broadcast home for your Windy City Bulls and the Chicago Dogs. We're in a league of our own. Now, here's your SportstownChicago.com scoreboard update.
I'm Brandon with your SportstownChicago.com update powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to BeOnAir.com. Bears score 30-plus points in fourth straight game for the first time since 1965 as they blow out the Jaguars 41-17. With the win, Chicago moves into the final wildcard slot at the moment since Arizona lost on Saturday. Bears head coach Matt Nagy wants to make sure his team is focused on what they need to do and not caught looking at other games going on next week.
We know that we're guaranteed one more game. We nothing else, and if we do well in that one game, then we'll have an opportunity for more, but we can't worry about that. We just worry about us.
Bears will get into the playoffs with a win over the Packers next week, or if Cardinals lose next week to the Rams. Both games will kick off next Sunday at 3:25 p.m. Jaguars are guaranteed top overall pick in the 2021 draft after their loss and another Jets win. Most believe that top pick will be used on Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. Elsewhere around the NFL, some records were set this week. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert set an NFL rookie record for most touchdown passes in a season, breaking Baker Mayfield's record of 27, and Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce set a single-season receiving yards record by a tight end. And the Washington football team has released former first-round draft pick Dwayne Haskins. And this has been your SportstownChicago.com update brought to you by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to BeOnAir.com.
Blow the whistle! Blow the whistle! Blow the whistle!
Welcome to Blow the Whistle here on SportstownChicago.com. I'm Brandon Januska here with... And we have a great show in store for you today. But before we get into it, Tyler, can you please let our listeners know where to find us on social media?
Absolutely. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at BlowTWhistle1. That is BlowTWhistle1. Give us a follow.
All right. And this is our only show this week, and we have a lot to discuss, so let's get this thing started.
On second and four, a lot of time for Glennon, who throws over the middle. He's intercepted. Picked off by Roquan Smith. This is second and two. Trubisky on the move. Gonna keep it to the end zone for the touchdown.
Bears and Jaguars on Sunday. It was close at halftime, and then the Bears just really turned it on in the third quarter.
I got to say, Brandon, I'm really getting used to hearing that music after the last 3 weeks. It's been nice.
That's right. That's three in a row.
It really has been nice since we have not been able to listen to that for 6 weeks in a row.
So they put up 21 points in the third quarter. I know we were talking before the show, David. Do you think it was something that was just said in the locker room that just flipped the switch for them, or just halftime adjustments, or is Jacksonville just falling apart and they lost it?
I have no idea. I want to hope that like the coaches just like reamed them a new one at halftime and said, this is not who we are, because they're, it could have been tied at halftime without Glennon making up for the mistake that Trubisky made. So they come out with aggression, some excitement, and just got the ball rolling and just kept it going the rest of that second half. And if I remember correctly, typically the third quarter has been the worst quarter for the Bears this season anyway, so it was nice to see him scoring points in the third quarter.
I totally agree.
That first half looked a little sloppy. It was just a lot closer than I was expecting it to be. And then I agree with what you guys are saying, that I think the coach, Nagy, just kind of ripped him a new one and just kind of got this ball rolling. And that second half, like that third quarter was like probably easily their best quarter that they played, and they looked phenomenal. Just offense was clicking and everything.
Yeah, and how about this? They actually pulled Trubisky from a game. The game was over. They didn't take a last-second defensive stand or a late field goal or anything. They actually got to pull Trubisky from the game and rest their starters.
Hey, can we just talk about one thing for a second? We had a Pierce sighting, and he looked good.
He did. He only rushed it twice, but 26 yards and a touchdown on it.
When they pulled Trubisky, at first, I looked away from the game for a second. At first, I was worried. I'm like, Mike, did Trubisky throw another interception or something? Like, did he do something bad? But I'm like, well, no, because all the starters are out. So that was actually a relief to see, because we've never had that before. And, I mean, if you're up by like 30-plus towards the end of the fourth, I obviously would pull your starters out. So that was cool to see. And it was always cool to see Trubisky just pound Glennon, as Trubisky took his starting spot a few years ago. So that was very nice to see.
I also think that it was nice that they pulled everybody. Not as quite as quick as Tampa Bay pulled theirs against the Lions, but nonetheless, still pulled the first stringers out to make sure no one got injured.
Yeah, and with that, the Bears now have three straight wins, and with Arizona's loss on Saturday, they do control their own playoff fate. Let's take a look at going into next week. They have to play Green Bay. Arizona plays the Rams. What are we thinking? Everyone has to play for something. I know there was talk maybe Green Bay rests their starters, Aaron Rodgers won't play. Green Bay's fighting for the number one seed, so they have everything to play for right now. They're playing for that bye. Do the Bears have a chance?
Well, I'm going to just go with history being history and say, nice job, boys, but not nice enough. I believe that the Bears will fall short. The only thing that you can hope for is that the Rams, Arizona, and you get in by default.
Yeah, that's how I think it can happen, but I don't know. I mean, I could just be biased because, you know, I love the Chicago Bears.
You're biased, right? But that's okay. We still love you.
I'm biased in, like, everything we talk about Chicago Bears. So, but I don't know. With the way how the offense and the defense have been playing these past four games, there is a chance. I don't know. I mean, obviously, Green Bay is a phenomenal team. And I wasn't even thinking that the Green Bay was fighting for that number one spot, because I was just thinking at first that they would rest their starters since, you know, they want them healthy for the playoffs. But I don't know. It's not a great chance, but I'm going to say it out there. There is a chance that I think the Bears could play well against the Green Bay Packers, just because they've been on such a roll. And they'd be coming on. They're coming in with a three-game win streak, and then with the Rams, the Cardinals—they're just falling apart now. Like, it's kind of like with Seattle; they're just kind of falling apart. So, I think the Rams could pull off that win, and so that would definitely help us. So, I don't know; it's going to be interesting.
The only thing that worries me about the Rams game is the fact that Jared Goff has a broken thumb, and he's going to try and go, but I doubt he's going to play.
Yep.
But yeah, that changes everything.
It does. However, they do focus more on that's a defense-driven team, so I think the Rams could still beat a Cardinals team that's been struggling lately, but I do think it will be a tight game, especially if Cam Akers is still hurt and if Jared Goff is unable to go, or even if he is going, he's playing with a broken thumb on his throwing arm, so how will that factor in? My opinion for the Bears, though, is it all comes down to the pass rush. I know I've been focusing on that for weeks, and they came through with 7 sacks a couple weeks ago, and then it just kind of disappeared again. Jacksonville is not that good, and they only managed 1 sack. Didn't really get – Glennon's not mobile. They didn't really put as much pressure on him as I would have liked. So that worries me, because if you give Aaron Rodgers time, he'll pick anybody apart, and especially if Jalen Johnson can't go. So those are my big keys to the game, are Jalen Johnson will hopefully be back to help out in the secondary, and the Bears need to get a pass rush. They need to pressure Rodgers.
Absolutely, because Rodgers, I don't know what it is, he just got that magic where if he escapes the pocket, and he can just always make something happen. So we just got to get to him. The Bears have got to get to him and not let him work his little magic that he always freaking does.
Yeah, exactly.
And do not play that zone defense against Rodgers. Absolutely not.
That's right. Zone defense only works if a pass rush can get there, because otherwise Aaron Rodgers especially, but really any NFL quarterback, will pick you apart. If they're just sitting down back there looking for a receiver. So I know we've talked about this a couple times. Just the last thing I want to hit before we move on. We've talked about this, that I know David said if the Bears get in, they could be a legit threat. Do you guys still feel that the Bears could be a legitimate threat, even if they lose to the Packers? If they sneak in somehow, the Rams win, and they get in, are they a team that people don't want to face, or have they just looked good because they've been playing subpar teams?
I don't see how they're not a team to be feared. That defense shows up. Let me put it to you this way. If the defense shows up the way that they have in the second half of yesterday's game against the Texans, all that stuff, there's not a team that they can't play with. And with the offense kind of finding its groove with the way they want to play with Mitchell and Montgomery doing what he's doing, they're a threat to beat anybody.
I 100% agree. The defense, they've always been like a playoff defense. They've always been a really good defense, especially when they're healthy, as we saw when we got, when Hicks came back. So as long as our defense is healthy, our defense is going to play as well as they've always have. And now that our offense is clicking better, they're moving the ball up the field, the run game has improved by a ton. This could be a scary team to play. It could be like the Cinderella story of the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, they just barely make the playoffs and they just make a good run, because it could happen. It's happened before, and I think if it was to happen again, I think this Bears team could do it just because of that phenomenal defense, and with the offense actually giving the defense a break off the field and being able to put points up on the board. It could be an interesting story in the playoffs for the Chicago Bears.
I agree. And the Bears are, if their first real test will be next week. So that's going to be, basically, they're fighting for the playoffs. So the playoffs have already started for the Bears, and this will be a nice test to see, their first real big test since the winning streak started. But that will wrap up our Bears segment for today. Coming up, which 0-3 NBA team will grab their first win tomorrow night in Washington? Let us know what you think and find out our thoughts here on Blow the Whistle.
As an instructor, as a mentor, because I've been in this business for over 20 years, so it meant a lot to me to be able to come back and just teach some of the tricks of the trade to the students here at Illinois Media School. I'm Jonathan Hood from SiriusXM NBA Radio and ESPN Radio from the Illinois Media School campus in Lombard, and I am IMS.
Enter the world of a spy by bringing your friends to Safe House in Chicago. Safe House is a spy-themed bar and restaurant that is a perfect combination of interactive entertainment and great food. Just enter through the red door and whisper the password to the agent, and your mission begins. If you don't know the password, just complete a fun clearance test to prove you and your friends are not double agents. Safe House is not just about the adventure, though. The food is great, too. Be sure to try my favorite, the Mission Impossible Burger. It's a double bacon cheeseburger topped with onion rings and covered in a spicy ranch and jalapeno relish. Go to Safe House for the chance to follow the footsteps of your favorite spy. For more information, go to SafeHouseChicago.com.
Hey, I'm Andy Griggs, asking you to help prevent domestic violence. Domestic violence isn't a woman's issue. It hurts all of us. Women are injured and killed every day by their husbands and boyfriends. So it's time for men to take action right now to teach boys that violence against women is wrong, to help prevent abuse before it starts. Call the Family Violence Prevention Fund at 1-800-END-ABUSE to get a free take action kit containing tips on what to say to boys. That's 1-800-END-ABUSE. Teach early.
High school sports is here, and sportsonchicago.com. We are ready to provide the best high school sports live coverage all across Northern Illinois.
From the first kickoff of high school football to the final spike of high school volleyball, we at sportsonchicago.com are ready to bring you high school sports live.
Sportsonchicago.com and STC Friday Night Lights
in the league of our own.
Daddy, when you look at me, I could see your wheels turning. About what am I going to be when I grow up? A major league first baseman? Maybe a point guard for a national championship?
The odds of a child becoming a professional athlete are 1 in 16,000. Far-fetched? Maybe. But did you know the odds of a child being diagnosed with autism are 1 in 166? That's right, 1 in 166. To learn the signs of autism, go to autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Take that exit and get to the Southern Cafe, home of the Nasty Biscuit on Roselle Road in Roselle. Get over there and try the chicken fried chicken biscuit made with the Southern Cafe's house-made drop biscuit with buttermilk chicken fried chicken smothered in country gravy, topped with shredded cheddar and crumbled hickory smoked bacon. I always say that when you go to the Southern Cafe, you come out with two meals with the heaping amounts of food they serve you in every meal. I love to go to a place with outdoor seating. The Southern Cafe has a great outdoor seating area to help social distance, and I get to enjoy my breakfast outdoors. Open 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. to give you plenty of time to grab an amazing breakfast or lunch. Now get your butt over to the Southern Cafe on Roselle Road.
At the football game, Jim shows the telltale signs of being wasted. He starts flexing for the camera. He refers to his muscles as gunboats. He screams, "How's this for a halftime show?" Jim streaks the field.
It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive. But what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
I'm just a kid, and I've got asthma. You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
But you can help me.
To fight my asthma.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off my rubber duckies and bath toys to get rid of mold.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. Brought to you by the U.S. EPA and the Ad Council.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Hey guys, let me tell you about this amazing podcast I listen to every Monday to get my week started off on a positive note, called Monday Motivation with Hannah B, aka Skittles. We call her Skittles because she is so positive. Her topics include staying positive during COVID-19, coping with stress, spreading kindness, hard work pays off, and self-acceptance, plus so much more. It's available on radio.com and Spotify. Make sure to listen as it will leave you feeling nothing but positive vibes.
I got started at IMS here as an instructor a couple years back after I had heard a couple of people I worked with were also instructors here. I'm always here if you need help with developing your what you're passionate about. And that's what most people come here for. They have a passion. They want to do something. They want to do radio play-by-play. They want to do sports talk. They want to do updates, whatever it may be. My name is Freddie Huebner. I work at ESPN 1000.
Lowry Markkanen, quick trigger, got it for three. Kobe White, quick release, got another one. His third three. Here is Porter. They left him open, and he cans the first Bulls three.
Automatic.
Lowry taking the contact, and making one. It home.
We are back here on Blow the Whistle. It's time to talk some Chicago Bulls.
That is right. Chicago Bulls regular season has started, but has not been a pretty start. I want to apologize to all of our listeners if I steered you the wrong way and got you overly excited. Not saying that the Bulls
are
not over.
I've lost so much money, Tyler. So much money. No, I'm joking, man.
Not saying that the Bulls season is over, but I want to apologize if I got you overhyped, because these last three games has not been pretty. So, the Bulls lose their first three games of the season. They lost to Atlanta 124-104, and they played the Indiana Pacers and lost 125-106. And they played last night against Golden State 129-128. That was definitely their best game they played so far from what I've seen. But against Atlanta, they struggled on offense very badly. They only shot 22% from the field and from 3-point and then 41% from the field. So that is just offense is struggling as well as our defense, because our defense has not been able to stop other teams from scoring as much, because these numbers are insane. Like, these teams are scoring over 120 points.
Well, I got a couple questions for you, Tyler, before you keep going.
Shoot it.
First off, I agree with you. The defense has been horrible. And it was one thing that we were actually kind of looking forward to, them having a better defense this year. My question is, are the Bulls, is this a growth period? Is this not the Bulls that we're going to see maybe, let's say, a month, 2 months from now? They're getting to know each other as far as starting lineup goes and everything like that. Is there a growth period that we need to wait for before we actually see what the Bulls are? I mean, no. It is only 3 games.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's only 3 games. There's definitely a growth period that we're going to have to. It's a work in progress, because other than that, they've looked pretty good. I'll move into that against the Golden State game, because they put up good numbers in that. But I just think it's just a growth thing. It's a growth period they're going to have to work on and just get that chemistry back together. Because Atlanta, I mean, yeah, they lost by 20 points, but I mean, Atlanta is a team to look out for, because Trae Young has just been lighting up. He had 37 points in that game, 5-for-6 from beyond the arc. So we always knew Trae Young was going to be a star, but they've also got some other phenomenal players on here. They got Cam Reddish. He had 15 points. Every single starter in that lineup scored double-digit points. So their team, so I can't totally put it all on the Bulls. It's just Atlanta's got a good team this year. But it's just our offense that's not been clicking as well. And against in Atlanta and in Indiana, they were only shooting 37-41% from the field. So it's just we got to get our shots in and get those down, and then get the players to play in their positions that they're strong in, which Wendell Carter has been struggling, and I don't know why, but I don't agree with them trying to make him a three-point shooter, because we have enough three-point shooters. We got Kobe White, Zach LaVine, Markkanen, which he has been a surprise for me this season, which I'll talk more about. But they need to keep Wendell Carter just in the paint. Let him do what he's good at, you know?
I absolutely agree. Being a Duke fan that I am, I've watched him play, and that's where he belongs. Get those second chance points, get those rebounds, know your role, quit trying to develop him into something that he is not, and just let him be him.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, so what I've seen so far in these, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so a big thing, a trend with the Bulls in the first two games was they didn't even need to play a fourth quarter those couple of games. They were down 32 in the first one going into the fourth, 28 in the second one, because they just let the opposing teams go on a huge run. And yesterday they prevented the Warriors from doing that. They actually led going into the fourth. So have you seen improvement from the defense? Is that something that they've worked on, or is, like you said, the Hawks are a good team, the Pacers are a better team, the Warriors are not? So is the defense improving, or are we just seeing two bad teams?
I think the Warriors, it's kind of weird to think about that they're not a great team this year. I mean, it's just been Steph Curry playing. But I think it's the defense looked a little bit better, because exactly what we were talking about with Wendell Carter, putting him where he needs to be. He had 13 rebounds in that game. And he had 22 points. So he only attempted 2 3-point shots. But I think, so they put him right in the spot where he needs to be. But that is, yeah, it's because this Golden State's not that great. I think the main reason why we lost is just because Steph Curry, he just led the team with 36 points. But I think we definitely looked better in this game than the first two games, offensively and defensively. If you look, we actually, again, weird to think about, we had a higher three-point percentage than the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
But it doesn't help them with Klay Thompson, the other Splash Brother, missing. But we looked a lot better in that game. It was just because it was such a close game. We lost only by 1 point, so we could have came away with that win, but it's just we just didn't finish.
Yeah, and they get to take on the Wizards twice this week, who's also 0-3 coming in. What do you see coming up in the two games this week against them?
It's going to be a close one. It's going to be two teams battling for that first win of the season. Bradley Beal is a player that we need to like tighten up on our defense for, because he's been averaging 33 points in these first three games so far. It's going to be a tough game because we are playing away. This will be our first away game of the season, so not that it really makes a difference with no fans. But, I mean, just traveling is going to – it definitely throws them off a little bit. But, I mean, if they play as well as they did against the Warriors, I think we can finally get that first W and then get this ball rolling, because I have high hopes for this Bulls team. Even though they haven't been looking great, I think it's just more of just getting the team together, getting the chemistry together, and just kind of working out, because it's a whole new phase. No, new coach, new everything on that team. It's just a matter of just getting everyone's comfort zone and just playing that just good old basketball with everyone.
And I guess my question would be, what is your impression of the first round draft pick from the Bulls so far?
He has been playing really well. He's been averaging 12 to 13 points a game. He had one game that he scored like 9 points, but he's been playing really well. He's been, even on defensive side, he's had a few steals every game, a couple blocks here and there. So he's playing well all the way around, like both sides. And I think he's definitely proven the fans and other people that were not a fan of the Bulls drafting him, I think he's proven them wrong. And he's been starting all three games. So, he took that spot over Otto Porter Jr., which that says a lot, because Otto Porter Jr. is a solid player. And he's also even putting up some good numbers off the bench. So I'm satisfied how Williams is doing. I saw he's listed third out of all the rookies on points average in the season so far. So if that doesn't really tell you much, he's playing really well so far in these first three games.
So predictions for this week, are they going to split with the Wizards? Are they going to sweep them?
You know me with my biased personality. Well, I want to see how they play in the first. ESPN only has the Bulls having a 20% chance of winning this game, but I think it'll be a lot closer than that. But I think they'll at least split. I think the Bulls, with just how well of a game they played yesterday, I think they'll kind of roll into this game like confident, and like the chemistry's there a little bit better. So I think they will. And as long as Lauri Markkanen is playing, because again, everything I said last week, the opposite has totally happened. Lauri Markkanen has been like the number two player scorer on the Bulls so far. But he left last night's game with like 3 minutes left in the game with a calf contusion. We've still got to wait to hear about that. But Markkanen, he came out of nowhere. He's been averaging about 20 points a game or more in the past three games, and he's just been playing really well. So as long as he's in there, I definitely think we should win against the Wizards, not the Warriors. That was yesterday's game. Against the Wizards, that I think is part of the reason why we didn't finish through against the Warriors, because we didn't have them in those last 3 minutes of the game. But I think we'll at least split in these next two games.
All right, you heard it here first, folks. You heard it here, Tyler's call. And I'm sure everyone out there had at least one moment this week that made you say to yourself, "You're killing me, Smalls." And we want to know what those moments were for you. Let us know on Twitter at BlowTWhistle1 what your Killing Me Smalls moment was this week. But before we get into our choices, let's get a sports update.
Back to your home for sports. SportsTownChicago.com. Scoreboard update.
It's Brandon with your SportsTownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to BeOnAir.com. Zach LaVine gave Chicago a two-point lead with 5 seconds to play, but it was Golden State who came out on top 129-128 after Damian Lee hit a three-pointer with 1.7 seconds remaining. LaVine led the Bulls in scoring with 33 points, while Stephon Curry had 36 points for the Warriors. Here's what Bulls head coach Billy Donovan had to say after the loss.
You know, we had, I don't know, 25 or 26 assists with 24 turnovers. There was a lot of really good things. You know, it's unfortunate we didn't get the result we wanted, but they're going to have to fight, you know, a lot harder.
Chicago is now 0-3 to start the season and play Washington tomorrow night. In college basketball, DePaul fell to 1-1 on the year after a 95-90 loss in double overtime to Providence. Illinois State lost to Loyola Chicago 90-60, and they play each other again tonight. Tip-off at 6 p.m. Southern Illinois beat Evansville yesterday 63-57. They also play again tonight. Tip-off for that one is at 5 p.m. And in baseball, the Rays agreed to trade ace starting pitcher Blake Snell to the Padres for a package of prospects. Snell started last year's decisive Game 6 of the World Series against the Dodgers. However, the trade for Snell does not rule the Padres out for Yu Darvish. And this has been your SportsTownChicago.com update, brought to you by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to BeOnAir.com.
You're killing me, Smalls!
That's right, it is time in our show to give our one moment from the week, our voice, our grievances here on You're Killing Me Smalls. And today, we will start with David.
Oh, I feel so privileged. My Killing Me Smalls moment this week goes to Liberty University football team. You had the game in hand. You called the right play. Your running back does the right thing. And then your tight end decides he's going to push the running back into the end zone. And the running back fumbles the ball. They turn it over, end up losing the game to Coastal Carolina. And for that, Liberty University, your tight end, your running back, I've got one thing to say to you.
You're killing me, Smalls.
And Tyler.
And my You're Killing Me Smalls, I don't know if it's as obvious as you guys think, the Chicago Bulls. I have to say, because everything that I talked about Monday's show last week, it was just, I think the Chicago Bulls team, I think they heard our show because everything I said is just opposite. So I talked so highly, and now you guys make me look like a fool on our show. And so, Chicago Bulls.
You're killing me, Smalls.
And my You're Killing Me Smalls moment goes out to former Bear and current 49er kicker Robbie Gold. He missed 3 kicks, 2 field goals, and a point after. In the game against the Cardinals that had great meaning for the Bears. And I don't know, maybe he's holding the grudge against the Bears for not keeping him, but the usually reliable Robbie Gold, he was not good as gold on Saturday. So, and I know the Cardinals still lost, thankfully, but those missed kicks, that's 7 points, and that made it a lot more stressful for Bears fans watching the game. So, Robbie Gold.
You're killing me, Smalls.
And let us know what the You're Killing Me Smallman moment was for you this week. Let us know on Twitter, like we said, at BlowTWhistle1, at BlowTWhistle. And I know we say it every week, but we really could do that segment for an entire show. We all love it.
100% think so.
Especially with everything going on in sports right now, absolutely.
We could easily do a whole hour-long show on just what on You're Killing Me Small.
All right, but we do have to move on. New Year's Six bowl games are this weekend. Let us know who you think will win each game, and then we'll break them all down for you here on Blow the Whistle on SportsTownChicago.com.
High School Sports is here, and SportsTownChicago.com, we are ready to provide the best high school sports live coverage all across Northern Illinois.
From the first kickoff of high school football to the final spike of high school volleyball, we at SportsTownChicago.com are ready to bring you high school sports live. SportsTownChicago.com and STC Friday Night Lights in a league of our own.
Hey, I'm Andy Griggs, asking you to help prevent domestic violence. Domestic violence isn't a woman's issue. It hurts all of us. Women are injured and killed every day by their husbands and boyfriends. So it's time for men to take action right now to teach boys that violence against women is wrong, to help prevent abuse before it starts. Call the Family Violence Prevention Fund at 1-800-END-ABUSE to get a free take action kit containing tips on what to say to boys. That's 1-800-END-ABUSE. Teacher.
When I do it, I feel the blood rushing through me, and I keep going back for more.
Carmen Castillo is under the influence of Dana, her volunteer trainer.
Tuck your chin, Carmen.
By spending just one day a week with kids like Carmen, Dana helps them develop interests that keep them away from drugs. Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer, because you have something to offer. Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
This is Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for Red. You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party down. Just don't get in that 2,000-pound bullet when you're done and cocked. And please don't drink and drive.
I'm the one that jaded you.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
I came to Illinois Media School because I want to give back to the current students. It's something that really means a lot to me as an instructor, as a mentor, because I've been in this business for over 20 years. So it meant a lot to me to be able to come back and just teach some of the tricks of the trade to the students here at Illinois Media School.
I'm Jonathan Hood from SiriusXM NBA Radio and ESPN Radio from the Illinois Media School campus in Lombard, and I am IMS.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice.
What if something happens? Will you come get me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of an emergency.
Mom, if you're not home, should we go to the neighbor's house?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
It wouldn't be high school sports without the athletes.
the fans. But it also wouldn't be high school sports without the officials. The IHSA is looking for officials in all sports. Officiating is a great way to stay involved with the sport you love. Above all, it's a great way to do something positive for your community. To learn how you can get involved and become a licensed IHSA official, call 309-663-6377. That's 309-663-6377. Or visit us on the web at IHSA.org. Stay in the game.
The Illinois Center for Broadcasting is now the Illinois Media School. We've been an institution in the Chicagoland area now for 30 years. Because the broadcasting world is always changing, so are we. Not only are we teaching radio and television production, but now you can learn all aspects of the media industry, like web design. You can even specialize in TV or film, sports broadcasting, and even sales. No matter where you are in the Chicagoland area, we have a campus near you. The Illinois Media School.
Lawrence to throw on first down, and we'll take a shot. Wide open is Rogers, and he's gone. Just like that, Clemson takes the lead.
Mac Jones going deep. Devontae Smith is gone. Touchdown, Alabama.
Where does Fields want to go here on first and 10? He wants to go deep for the end zone, and wide open, hauling it in, Jamison Williams.
Selvin Cook's going to take that shot. Now there's Avery Davis, 20, Davis 10.
Credit Chris Fowler, Brandon Gowden, and Mike Tirico on those calls you just heard. It is college football bowl season. This is what they all play for.
This is my favorite time of the season for sure, and we have some great matchups this week, not including the playoff games, but I'm going to just start in on some of the games, and I want to hear everybody's take on them. Let's start off with the Cotton Bowl, which will be Oklahoma versus Florida. What are you thinking here, Brandon?
I really like Kyle Trask. I think that Pitts did say he's opting out for the game. I still think Florida's offense can't. I think it'll be a close game, but I still like Florida's offense even without Pitts. I still think Kyle Trask can help Florida take the lead and hold on to it. I think it'll be a high-scoring game, but I think Florida comes out on top.
All right. How about you, Tyler?
I agree with Brandon. I liked Florida throughout the whole entire season. I just liked their offense, and I like Kyle Trask and how he played. He's just such a good quarterback. And I agree. It's going to be a high-scoring game. I do believe that Florida is going to overcome this game and win the Cotton Bowl, which I'm really hoping for. I just like how they are. Even without Pitts, I think Kyle Trask will just do what he does and will defeat Oklahoma.
Well, I agree with both of you. I think Florida in the end will win this game. My biggest takeaway from this is Oklahoma needs to show up for all four quarters. If they play like they did against Iowa State, this will become a blowout very quickly. Florida's defense for the first time in many years has been the suspect aspect of that team. So I think points will be very, very frequent and very, very much a high scoring game. But I just want to throw this out there for all you Chicago Bears fans, pay attention to Kyle Trask. If he's there in the second round come draft time, he would be an unbelievably great choice for you. So pay attention to this kid. He has probably the best quarterback mind of any of the quarterbacks that are coming out this year, so just pay attention to Kyle Trask during this game. The second game we're going to talk about is the Peach Bowl, number 8 Cincinnati versus number 9 Georgia. I'm going to throw it to you, Tyler. Who do you got?
You know, I've been really liking how Cincinnati's been playing. They've been kind of a surprise team for me. I didn't expect them to be as good as they are. And Georgia's kind of falling off a little bit. So I'm going to go with Cincinnati on this one. I think even though, because they got snubbed for being the undefeated team and not getting in like the bigger bowls, but the Peach Bowl is still a big bowl. And so I would love to see Cincinnati win against Georgia in this one.
All right, Brandon, how about you?
Yeah, I think Tyler just hit it right on the head. I think Cincinnati, don't have to think it. They came out and said Cincinnati, they think that they deserve to be in the college football playoff. I don't disagree. They were 9-0, but they got snubbed, like Tyler said. I think they will be playing angry, and with that defense, I think it'll be a good game. Georgia is actually favored by a touchdown, but I think that Cincinnati's defense can shut down Georgia, and like I said, playing angry, that's might be the motivation they need to put them over the top. I'm going to take them in a very close game.
I absolutely agree with both of you, and I absolutely agree with Brandon. Cincinnati's going to come in there with a huge chip on their shoulder. They're going to be extremely PO'd, and I'm actually PO'd for them. I thought that they should be one of the teams in the playoff. I knew it probably wasn't going to happen, but that being said, Georgia is a different team now that they have JT Daniels as their starting quarterback. He has been chucking that ball all over the place. Former quarterback for USC transferred to Georgia, and since he's been the starting quarterback for them, their offense has been lighting it up. So I'm going to be very interested to see Cincinnati's defense versus that newly found potent offense from Georgia. That being said, though, Cincinnati wins. Very close game, maybe a field goal or less, and they are vindicated and show people that they should have probably been in the playoff to begin with. The next game we're going to talk about is number 25, Oregon versus number 10, Iowa State. Brandon, who do you have?
I'm going to go with Iowa State. Oregon, honestly, is lucky to be there. They took Washington's spot in the Pac-12 final, and they showed up. You got to give them credit. They showed up. They beat USC. USC was a team with flaws, though. Not that Iowa State isn't. All these teams have flaws. Iowa State is coming off a loss to Oklahoma, but I still think Iowa State is the better team overall. I am going to say Iowa State beats Oregon. I'm going to say by like a touchdown.
What about you, Tyler?
I am going to take a big risk here. And I'm going to go with Oregon winning this one. They did somehow sneak their way into the top 25, but they played really well against USC as they were ranked number 13, and USC was a good team. And I think because Oregon, they just kind of got thrown in the Pac-12 game because Oregon State canceled. I think that boosted up their confidence. And so I think I'm going to just throw it out there. I would love to see Oregon upset Iowa State in this one.
My biggest issue with this game is the issues that Iowa State had with the speed of Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship. Oregon is a huge speed team. Their wide receivers are fast. Their running back is amazingly good. But I believe the difference maker in this game will be the quarterback from Iowa State, Purdy. He has that will to win. He'll do anything and everything. He almost willed Iowa State back into that game for the Big 12 championship and almost pulled off the win. But that being said, I'm going to agree with Tyler and say they can't handle the speed. So Oregon wins, but it'll be close. The next game is the Orange Bowl, number 13, North Carolina versus number 5. Tyler, who do you have?
From last week, I know you were talking really high on North Carolina and that you said that they could compete in the Big 12 next season, which, I mean, they have been playing really well, but Texas A&M, they're just such a good team this year. I'm going to have to go with Texas A&M. I think it'll be somewhat of a close game. I think Texas A&M will win by a touchdown, but I definitely think Texas A&M will overcome North Carolina.
All right. What about you, Brandon?
I hear everything Tyler just said, and I'm nodding my head. It's like, I agree, and Texas A&M is favored by a touchdown. That's another team that is probably angry because they feel like they should be in and not Ohio State, maybe, but if you saw the game North Carolina against Miami, they just dominated that game with their running backs, Michael Carter and Javonte Williams. They actually hold the record now for running back tandem yardage in a game. I think that the Tar Heels have a chance to take over this game and keep Texas A&M off the field, their offense off the field, I'm going to go for the upset and say North Carolina in a close one.
That is a bold statement, Brandon, but guess what? I absolutely 100% agree. I think North Carolina is going to come out there and lay it on them. I don't even think it's going to be close. North Carolina's athletes all around on offense remind me of not as good as Alabama, but right there with Alabama. Your quarterback, Sam Howell, probably the front runner for the Heisman next year. And like I said, I believe North Carolina will make a run at Clemson next year for the ACC title. So I'm taking North Carolina in a blowout over Texas A&M for those reasons. Now to the big games, the playoff games. And we're going to start with number one, Alabama versus Notre Dame. Brandon, does Notre Dame have a prayer?
I'd love to see a close game. I don't think it will be. And I don't. Apparently no one else does either, because Alabama opens up as a 19.5 point favorite. So this is supposed to be your Final Four, and the Alabama is still a 19-point favorite. That means that they are just head and shoulders above the rest. I think they are going to run up the score. Notre Dame has a good defense, but I think Alabama is going to be way too much for them. I think they actually cover the spread. I think they win by more than 20.
Wow. How about you, Tyler?
I'm agreeing with Brando here. Alabama's team this year is just so dominant, so good. And Notre Dame is a solid team. They're finally living up to what they've been calling Notre Dame the past few years. They actually are a good team, but this Alabama team is just so beyond good. I don't think it's even going to be close. I wouldn't be surprised what Brandon said, that they win by like 20 points. It's not going to be close, I don't believe.
All right, we got two for Alabama. My whole thing is, if Notre Dame has a chance to win this game, they are going to have to control the time of possession. They are going to have to work that clock so that offense of Alabama, that very potent offense of Alabama, is not on the field as much. That being said, it's not going to happen. Something will happen. Devontae Smith will show up in one way or another, whether it be a punt return, kick return, or end around. He's going to make big plays. He should win the Heisman this year, I believe. But in the end, Alabama wins this game, probably covering the spread. And the second game is Clemson versus Ohio State. Tyler, who do you got?
This is going to be a close game. Ohio State, even with not having a full schedule, full schedule this year, they are a really good team. They are coming off a win against Northwestern. They didn't score as many points as they usually do in a game, but that's just because Northwestern, their defense is just unreal. But with Trevor Lawrence back, and as we saw as Clemson played against Notre Dame, and with Trevor Lawrence being back, that was a big factor on their offense. So I think Clemson is going to beat Ohio State. It's going to be pretty close. I think Clemson is going to win by 10. But I think Clemson is going to beat Ohio State in this one.
All right. So Tyler's got Clemson. What about you, Brando?
I also have to go with Clemson. Trevor Lawrence, I know, yeah, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, they're both Heisman finalists, but Trevor Lawrence is just incredible. And actually, I take that back. Fields is not a Heisman finalist, I'm sorry. But Trevor Lawrence is just ridiculous. And that Clemson team, after the beating they just put on Notre Dame and that top-ranked defense, like, that is a good Notre Dame defense, and they put up 34 points on them, and that game was never close. Ohio State has the better offense than Notre Dame, not than Clemson. So I think that it'll become sort of a shootout, but I still think Clemson wins by double digits.
Ooh, wow. wow, he's going double digits on both these games. For me, once again, it's going to come down to time of possession. If Ohio State, who seems to have found themselves a legitimate starting running back in Sermon, can run the ball the way they did against that elite Northwestern defense and run it against Clemson, whose defense has been kind of suspect this year in times, and control it and keep Trevor Lawrence off the field and ATN off the field, they have a shot. I don't think they will win it in the end. I think it's going to be a three-point game, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be closer than anybody thinks. But in the end, Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne are too much to handle. And Clemson goes on to face Alabama on January 11th for the national title. Once again, Clemson, Alabama, I'm sick of it. I know there's a lot of other people that are sick of seeing this game. But you have to give respect where respect is due. These are the two best teams in the country.
Oh, yes. Without a doubt.
Yeah, definitely agree.
If you think about that game, I don't know if there's ever been a game where, a bowl game at least, where there have been three Heisman finalists on the same field at the same time for that. That would be very intriguing to watch.
Yeah, that'd be really fun to watch because it's just – because obviously the Heisman – whoever is a contender in the Heisman is on the best of the best teams. And you got two of the best of the best teams. And if the fact there's three finalists on there, this is going to be something to watch.
Oh, it's going to be unbelievable. I can't wait. Any final thoughts, Brandon?
I agree. I think that it – it's going to come down to Alabama and Clemson, and I think Clemson is a team that can hang with Alabama, so I think that will be the game to watch. Definitely going to watch the games this week, too. They are still going to be good ones, and we'll definitely have some good ones outside of the playoff, too, the games we talked about. So it'll be a fun weekend to watch.
Absolutely.
Any of you guys have picks on who's going to win the national championship?
Oh, we got to save those, Tyler. Come on now.
Sorry.
Yeah, if you want our picks,
ahead of myself. I'm getting too excited.
You'll be able to hear our picks in upcoming shows. So be sure to tune in. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you to everyone who listened in today. And Tyler, could you remind everyone just one more time, where can you find us on social media?
Of course, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at BlowTWhistle1. That is BlowTWhistle1. Give us a follow and just tweet us out, especially You're Killing Me Smalls, because we love it when we get people to tweet us out there, You're Killing Me Smalls.
Yes, we do. We would like to thank all our listeners for tuning in today. We had a great time and hope you did too. Our next show is not until next Monday at 2 p.m. because this Friday is New Year's Day. We hope everyone is having a great holiday season and enjoy the final days of 2020. We will see you again on Monday. Again, I'm Brandon Januska alongside
David Dykstra. Everybody be safe out there.
And Tyler Biederbaugh, we'll see you guys next year.
And this was Blow the Whistle on SportsTownChicago.com.
I came to Illinois Media School because I want to give back to the current students. It's something that really means a lot to me as an instructor, as a mentor, because I've been in this business for over 20 years. So it meant a lot to me to be able to come back and just teach some of the tricks of the trade to the students here at Illinois Media School. I'm Jonathan Hood from SiriusXM NBA Radio and ESPN Radio from the Illinois Media School campus in Lombard, and I am IMS.
Enter the world of a spy by bringing your friends to Safe House in Chicago. Safe House is a spy-themed bar and restaurant that is a perfect combination of interactive entertainment and great food. Just enter through the red door and whisper the password to the agent, and your mission begins. If you don't know the password, just complete a fun clearance test to prove you and your friends are not double agents. Safe House is not just about the adventure, though. The food is great, too. Be sure to try my favorite, the Mission Impossible Burger. It's a double bacon cheeseburger topped with onion rings and covered in a spicy ranch and jalapeno relish. Go to Safe House for the chance to follow the footsteps of your favorite spy. For more information, go to SafeHouseChicago.com.
Hey, I'm Andy Griggs, asking you to help prevent domestic violence. Domestic violence isn't a woman's issue. It hurts all of us. Women are injured and killed every day by their husbands and boyfriends. So it's time for men to take action right now to teach boys that violence against women is wrong, to help prevent abuse before it starts. Call the Family Violence Prevention Fund at 1-800-END-ABUSE to get a free take action kit containing tips on what to say to boys. That's 1-800-END-ABUSE. Teach early.
High school sports is here, and sportsonchicago.com, we are ready to provide the best high school sports live coverage all across Northern Illinois.
From the first kickoff of high school football to the final spike of high school volleyball, we at sportsonchicago.com are ready to bring you high school sports live.
Sportsonchicago.com and STC Friday Night Lights
in the league of our own.
Daddy, when you look at me, I could see your wheels turning. About what am I going to be when I grow up? A major league baseman? Maybe a point guard for a national championship?
The odds of a child becoming a professional athlete are 1 in 16,000. Far-fetched? Maybe. But did you know the odds of a child being diagnosed with autism are 1 in 166? That's right, 1 in 166. To learn the signs of autism, go to autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Take that exit and get to the Southern Cafe, home of the Nasty Biscuit on Roselle Road in Roselle. Get over there and try the chicken fried chicken biscuit made with the Southern Cafe's house-made drop biscuit with buttermilk chicken fried chicken smothered in country gravy, topped with shredded cheddar and crumbled hickory smoked bacon. I always say that when you go to the Southern Cafe, you come out with two meals with the heaping amounts of food they serve you in every meal. I love to go to a place with outdoor seating. The Southern Cafe has a great outdoor seating area to help social distance, and I get to enjoy my breakfast outdoors. Open 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. to give you plenty of time to grab an amazing breakfast or lunch. Now get your butt over to the Southern Cafe on Roselle Road.
At the football game, Jim shows the telltale signs of being wasted. He starts flexing for the camera. He refers to his muscles as gunboats. He screams, "How's this for a halftime show?" Jim streaks the field.
It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive. But what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
I'm just a kid, and I've got asthma. You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
But you can help me.
To fight my asthma.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off my rubber duckies and bath toys to get rid of mold.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. Brought to you by the U.S. EPA and the Ad Council.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Hey guys, let me tell you about this amazing podcast I listen to every Monday to get my week started off on a positive note, called Monday Motivation with Hannah B, aka Skittles. We call her Skittles because she is so positive. Her topics include staying positive during COVID-19, coping with stress, spreading kindness, hard work pays off, and self-acceptance, plus so much more. It's available on radio.com and Spotify. Make sure to listen as it will leave you feeling nothing but positive vibes.
I got started at IMS here as an instructor a couple years back after I had heard a couple of people I worked with were also instructors here. I'm always here if you need help with developing your what you're passionate about. And that's what most people come here for. They have a passion. They want to do something. They want to do radio play-by-play. They want to do sports talk. They want to do updates, whatever it may be. My name is Fred Huebner. I work at ESPN 1000 as a host.